ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
And then he just stopped mid-sentence at one point, and he went, "You know what, Desley? I really like you. You sound really nice. And I'm just going to tell you straight. If they've got the same partner, run a million miles."
He actually provided his alternate mobile phone number, and he gave himself as his own reference, and he put on a really bad Scottish accent.
For This Working Life, hello, I'm Lisa Leong. In this episode, we do a background check on job references. The interviews are done and dusted. You've chosen the top candidate. Reference checks. Hired. Right? Wrong.
So my horror story was that, you know, this woman came in, she not only wasn't really up to doing the work that was required of her, but she was also causing a lot of problems with the other staff.
More reference check horror stories later. Whether you're giving one, getting one, or trying to do the check yourself, verifying job references is an important step in the recruiting process. In fact, it's far more critical than you might have guessed. But you have to do it the right way. We'll take you through what that is in just a tick.
My name is Tim Bednall. I'm an Associate Professor of Management over at Swinburne University of Technology in the School of Business Law and Entrepreneurship.
Tim has collated the research on how effective reference checks are when it comes to using them to pick the right candidate.
So there have been a couple of studies that have actually looked at the relationship between referee reports and on-the-job performance, and there is a correlation there, a positive one, but it's quite small, so it doesn't really tell you all that much. And so if you were hiring 100 candidates and, you know, if you implemented reference checking, then your decision-making would improve a little bit, you know, over those 100 candidates. You probably make a few more correct decisions than if you didn't have reference checking, but it's probably quite a small positive effect. The fact that it's highly subjective, that people tend to choose candidates that are going to say nice things about them. There's also something of a motivation as well for people to say nice things about you, because if your referee is known to you, of course, then it's going to get back to them if they've said something that would have put off your employer from giving you the job. That there's something of a motivation there, I think, for referees to say positive things about you as well.
So what is currently best practice when it comes to reference checking?
First of all, it should be done towards the end of the employee selection process, because it's quite time consuming and you've got to schedule time to meet referees and everything. It's probably not something you want to do at the very beginning. And I probably only do it when I've either got a preferred candidate or very, very short list of candidates. I think it works best when it's objective information, like have they really worked in this role? Have they really worked on these particular projects that they've claimed to, and have the particular skills that they've claimed to have worked on? And it's probably less good for subjective sorts of things, like, do they have a good work ethic, or are they a good colleague? Because you ask, you know, five different people and you might get five quite different opinions about those sorts of things.
We'll come back to Tim a little bit later, but let's hear from someone who does reference checks all the time. Jason Elias is a recruiter who specialises in the legal industry and a board member of the RCSA, Recruitment Consultant and Staffing Association. I want to know, is there any distinction that you make between character references versus skills or job references, Jason?
So for me, we're working in the professional services market. So getting your Auntie Betty to say what a nice kid you were 20 years ago is probably not going to hold a lot of weight. So if you are looking at a professional role, professional references are a lot more important. Character references tend to be for early career people. So if you're straight out of school and you've not worked somewhere else, it's probably a great idea to have your school principal say some nice things about you. But once you've worked in a workplace, you're going to get a referee is going to provide a lot more value if they can talk about your skills that are relevant to the job you're going for than just whether you're a nice kid or not.
There's part of me that wonders whether reference checks are just a tick the box exercise, but why do you think reference checks are critical when it comes to hiring the right person for the role?
Let me caution people that it's really an important step and not one to be undervalued. So in an interview, somebody might be sitting in front of you for 45 minutes to an hour, and there are some great people who are really good. They do good interview, but that doesn't necessarily mean they have substance. So you can put on a great performance for 45 minutes and fake it, but you can't fake 3 years in a job. You're going to be found out. So what I ideally want to know is not how well somebody can perform in an interview, but how they performed in the workplace. Unless their job is, of course, interviewing, like yours, Lisa, then that would be great. But if I want to know how good they are as an accountant, as an engineer, as a nurse, as a plumber, whatever it may be, I want to speak to one of their employers who's supervised them doing that actual work so I can find out how good they were day to day over a longer period than rather just in an interview.
Makes me think that maybe we're just not approaching these reference checks in the right way then. So what's best practice when it comes to checking references?
So there has to be more than one person because anyone can wing it with one. So I usually recommend two reference checks and possibly three for a more senior or serious role. And what I'm looking out for is not just what they say, it's what they don't say. And the reason I want more than one is because I want to check for inconsistencies. So they're a red flag. So if I ask for your references, Lisa, and referee A says that you're really shy, retiring, and don't say boo to a goose, and the next one says Lisa dances on the tabletops every lunchtime with a feather boa, I'm going to start getting some red flags. That doesn't mean I'm not going to hire you, but it does raise concerns, so I want to probe further. So reference doesn't necessarily mean hire or not hire. It just means do we need to investigate some of the issues that didn't come out at the other part of the process, particularly the interview stage.
Are you asking the same types of questions?
For each candidate, we would ask the same questions. For different roles, we would ask different questions as well.
All right, let's go now to other types of references, Jason. So written references, so written letters of reference, are they still a thing?
They are, but they are dying out, and for a couple of reasons. One is they don't really hold a great deal of value. And time and time I'm seeing that written references are more as a result of company policy. So everyone, in particularly in the US, is scared of being sued. So a lot of companies mandate that they aren't allowed to give written references or oral references for previous employers. So what they will do is maybe a type of pseudo-reference where they say, Bob worked from our company from this date to this date, he left on good terms, or something pretty generic like that. And that gets them off the hook of having to actually, you know, say anything detailed. So because there's a lack of detail in a reference check that's written, I don't hold much weight to it. Where I get a lot of value from my conversations doing an oral reference check is the nuance. So if I ask a question and there's hesitation or there's pause, or it's kind of the tone that sets the answer as much as what the answer is. And it's funny, when you read the literature on interviews, they say 80% of an interview is nonverbal communication. And I'd probably say reference checking is the same. It's listening to the tone of how somebody interviews. And that's why although there's great AI and systems and electronic reference checks and stuff, I still personally insist that all my team speak to the referees on the phone so we get a full picture.
And there are specific online services that manage reference checks. What are your thoughts on those?
Correct. But my comments about those would very much be in line with my comments around written references. So what they're doing is they're sending a questionnaire to the referee and he or she fills that out in their own time. So it's great in terms of making it more easy to catch a referee because they can do it when this suits them, because we do play a lot of phone tag trying to reach referees because they're usually busy people. But what I found is that the quality of what you get is less than what you get if you're having an actual conversation and listening to the tone.
Is it just the tone, or is there anything else about those online reference checking tools that are limiting?
I've got a lot of friends that run those companies and they're very good, but you've got to think about the type of role. If you're recruiting for the Easter show and you need 50 people quickly to sell hot dogs and fairy floss, I don't think it's a problem. You can do that. But if you're doing senior level roles where you have to get it right and you just don't want to take the risks, then you want to have a proper full-on reference check over the phone, over Zoom. And I don't think that filling out a form is going to get you there.
Some more practical tips from recruiter Jason Elias at the end of the program. But right now, let's hear some reference check horror stories. Jason's is a cracker.
My accountant once rang me up and asked me to recruit an accountant, and it wasn't in my space and I stick to my knitting. However, one of my consultants overheard the conversation and she said she'd recruited accountants for many years and she'd love to help out. And I could think of nothing better than send my accountant an invoice after the 24 years he sent me invoices. And we found a guy and he interviewed great. And we sent him over and the client loved him. And the client said, please offer him. And I'm like, hold on, we've got to do reference checks. So Amy went and did the reference checks and she sheepishly came to my office and said, something just doesn't add up. What we did is we looked at his references and all the people he suggested were from a long time ago and weren't necessarily his supervisors. They might have been peers. So what we did is we found out where he'd worked recently and we gave them a call and we said, look, can you please confirm that Bob worked from X date to Y date? And they said no. So he'd fudged the dates of employment by a few months on either side. And then as we probed, we found out that he'd actually made a beautiful recommendation letter from the managing partner of the accounting firm that he made up on Photoshop.
Oh, what?
Yep, it completely forged it. So I rang up my client and told him how much I would like to invoice him, but today was not going to be that day and we needed to revoke the offer. And obviously he agreed with me because, you know, if someone's dishonest, you'd worry about it if they were fixing your taps, right? You'd be panicky more than that if they're running your accounts.
Sarah, not a real name, used to run big admin teams in government departments. And doing a reference check for one of the candidates proved to be a bit tricky.
She had people listed as referees, but they were hard to contact and they weren't necessarily the right sort of people. So they weren't previous managers. So I did actually contact her and say that I was wanting to check her referees, but could she provide me with someone who was a former supervisor. I think she gave me some details for someone that I couldn't contact and then she said the other person was overseas and she sort of had quite what seemed like quite reasonable excuses not to give me another one. So she did provide someone who I think she said was a former colleague and I spoke to this person and she, you know, sung this candidate's praises and, you know, said she'd be really great at the job and, you know, seemed to answer all the questions satisfactorily. But I suspected from what happened later that this person was actually probably a friend rather than a proper professional referee. Yeah, so my horror story was that, you know, this woman came in. She not only wasn't really up to doing the work that was required of her, but she was also causing a lot of problems with the other staff. We performance managed her out. So my lesson from that was don't cut corners with doing referee checks and make sure that you are talking to multiple sources and, you know, actually talking to them and asking the right questions and being thorough.
That was Sarah, who learned the hard way about the importance of that final step in the process, doing a comprehensive reference check with the right kind of referees. So how might needing to nominate a referee disadvantage some candidates and give others a big leg up? Here's Tim Bednall from Swinburne University, who looked at the research on written references.
There is actually some evidence that written letters of recommendation have sometimes been shown to have some gender bias in them. And this was specifically in the area of academia, where they were looking at, letters of recommendations for different candidates, where they actually found that referees were quite a bit more reserved when it came to giving, you know, compliments to female candidates. And they're also likely to give, rather than glowing praise, faint praise, such as this person requires minimal supervision, which is not exactly a great compliment.
Tim, is there anything else you learned in your research about reference checks that you want people to know?
Well, I guess one thing is that not everybody is going to have access to referees at the same level of credibility. Like if you're from a fairly privileged background and you've got access to senior leaders or people, you know, who are well-respected professionals and everything, they're going to be advantage by reference checks compared to someone who might be from an underprivileged background and everything. So I think if they are being used, to select candidates, then you do have to take that into account. And that's why I really think that they're good in terms of being able to check up on factual information, but less good, I suppose, for character references and commenting on, other sorts of personal qualities.
Desley has been working in HR in various roles for a long time now, and she knows it can be difficult for some to get the right kind of referees when they're applying for a job.
We need to be realistic that not everyone can get a reference from their immediate past manager. I had a manager who I didn't feel comfortable giving as a reference, wasn't quite sure what they would say. They had been very upset with me that I had done an engagement survey and their results were not very good. And so the relationship between us was very difficult from that point. So I asked another person within that organisation, also at a senior level, and I actually let them explain to the recruiter why they had been asked to be my referee and not the other person. But I think it's really important that we recognise people leave managers, and they leave managers for a reason. So then asking for that manager to give a reference, it's not always going to be a good outcome.
Desley does have a technique she uses to extract the truth during a reference check when she's recruiting. It involves a bit of research and a lot of charm.
So there was one referee who I spoke to, and I built the rapport with them. They worked in a suburb where I'd been to a cafe there, so we talked about the cafe and, we were able to connect over that. I asked the general questions, how long did they work there, and we had a few laughs in between, so not just the questions, but, friendly banter, things like that. And then he just stopped mid-sentence at one point and he went, "You know what, Desley, I really like you. You sound really nice, and I'm just going to tell you straight. If they've got the same partner, run a million miles." And I was a bit gobsmacked, to be honest. I'm very pleased it was over the phone and not a video reference, because I don't know that I would have been able to hold my facial expression. But, we didn't go there with that person because of that comment.
Back to recruiter Jason Elias now for that practical advice I promised. He has this tip for people hiring who are not experienced at doing a reference check, and it involves a lemon metaphor.
Go back to your position description and say, what are the criteria that I'm looking for? So if, for example, and often I use the lemon test. So if Betty left because she was a lemon, because she couldn't complete things on time, then timeliness is an important issue I want to make sure my new employee doesn't do. So I might say, referee, thank you very much for your time. One of the things that's really important in this job is timeliness. Can you tell me about a time when the candidate had competing deadlines and priorities, and how would they handle time pressure?
So what is that one killer question that you should ask a referee?
Would you rehire them? So I get two responses. I get usually followed by, if there's an appropriate position, or I get, would you rehire them? Yes, in a heartbeat. And that to me is the key question. Would you rehire them?
Let's say I've been asked to be a referee. What should I be thinking about before I say yes or no?
So it's an imposition on your time. So you've got to ask yourself if you're happy to do it. It's kind of a pay it forward thing. People don't usually say no because one day they may need somebody to be their referee. So it's almost an unwritten rule that people will, when asked, be happy to do it. I haven't heard of too many people that don't. Usually when we get knocked back, it's because I'm in Europe for the next 6 weeks, or, I've just had a baby. I'm not interested in discussing work stuff. I've just got other priorities at the moment. So it's just an unavailability than I just can't be bothered doing it. Unless there's a company policy that doesn't allow you to make comments because of potential litigation. Because remember, if you say something nasty about someone in a reference check, arguably that could be exposed to that person and there could be defamation proceedings.
So how honest should I be when I am a referee?
I'd be completely honest. I'd be candid and give it a warts and all, because that will give the information to the person asking the questions to make the informed decision.
Okay, and let's now flip it. So if I need a reference for a job that I've applied for, how should I approach that?
You need somebody to be your referee?
Yes.
Okay, so the first thing is, are they working at the same company as you?
Let's say it's one, skip one. So okay, it's from so a, it's previous, company. Yep.
So that's easy. They're not going to give away your confidence. So it's fine. So you ring up and say, hey, former boss, it was great working with you. I moved on to another job and now I'm actually looking again. It would be a wonderful thing if you're open to be a referee for me. How would you feel about that? And get the vibe because that will tell you.
Can you share a reference check horror story when you've been asked to be the referee?
Yes, actually. This is a good one, Lisa. Thank you. So years ago, I hired somebody who was actually a client of mine and she was really good to deal with as a client, and then she was at a loose end. So I said, I'll give you a chance. Come and work with me. And she really was dialing it in. Anyway, finally, we pulled the pin and we separated. And about 2 years later, Sally's at the reception. And she goes, I'm going for this other job, you see, and I thought you'd be such a great referee. And I looked her in the eyes and said, Sally, no, I don't think you want me in a referee. No, you'd be great. I said, listen, Sally, you do not want me as your referee. And she finally got the hint. Anyway, I went back to my desk and an hour later, she sent me this email that said, you know what? You called me out. I really was quite slack. I took the mickey. I'm sorry about that. Thank you for being honest and candid enough to give me the heads up. So it would have been an absolute tragedy for me if somebody did call you and you told them what you're going to tell them. So thank you. And we've become friends again since. But, you know, it was brave of her to acknowledge that, but, you know, I wasn't going to give her a good reference.
Finally, how can reference checking help to get the best person into the right position?
Sure. Anyone can be great at an interview for 45 minutes to an hour. What they can't do is consistently be great every single day in a job and fake that. So what we're trying to do is, as a final decision in our process, find out, A, if we're going to hire or not hire based on their actual work, not just their interviewing. When you're armed with that information and you still want to go ahead with the candidate, but the previous employer has said, you know what, just watch out. Sometimes their timeliness is an issue. Sometimes they just a people pleaser, so they don't know who to do, and then they don't deliver the work, or they end up staying till midnight, blah, 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 with all this, you know, cutting off from work after hours. That's a potential issue now too. So it's not just on the decision making of whether to go or no go, it's also how you manage and get the best from that person if, armed with that information, you decide to proceed.
Thanks so much, Jason.
Lisa, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Let's give the final word to our researcher, Tim Bednall. He agrees that when it comes to hiring the right person, well, it's just one part of the hiring process.
I would do it as part of the broader process of background checking, on the candidate. But I think what I would also say is, when you're selecting a candidate, that you should take into account a lot of other information about the candidate as well. And that includes, things from the job interview, samples of previous work, other evidence from their CV and work history about the types of professional experiences they have had, and the whole gamut of evidence that they may be suitable or not suitable for a role.
Thank you, Tim.
You're very welcome.
You've got the job.
Awesome.
Thanks to my guests, Dr. Tim Bednall, Associate Professor in Management at Swinburne University, and legal recruiter Jason Elias. Special thanks to Desley and Sarah for their reflections on reference check wins and fails. And if you like this episode and think it will help a friend, please share it with them. And if there's something you'd like us to cover, or you have a story about work you want to tell, send an email to thisworkinglife@abc.net.au.
Australian business leaders say they're worried about global uncertainty, inflation and labour shortages in 2024.
Job cuts have been announced, a restructure is imminent, business confidence is low, you've got a new boss, AI is about to change your job. If any of these scenarios leave you feeling a little stressed, make sure you tune in next time as we learn how to deal with uncertainty at work. I'm Lisa Leong. Thanks for listening to This Working Life. It's produced by Michelle Weeks and mixed by Tim Jenkins. This episode was made on the lands of the Wurundjeri people in Melbourne and the Gadigal people in Sydney. Until next time, work it, baby.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.